This is The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. That intro song. We hope it's in your head forever.
That spring feeling.
Yeah, that spring feeling. I'm Julian Joiello, Ben Starr, of course, in the studio, and Kevin O'Donohue from the DeMille Center, where we broadcast from. How you guys doing?
Hey, Julian. Good to be here.
Doing better, Julian. Doing better. You know, the early part of this week, I was having a bit of a hard time with the time change, as well as the horrendous weather we had on Monday. And I realized how much that affects us.
Right. For all of those people on the podcast listening right now in Africa and Asia, we have something called daylight savings time here in America, which goes back a little over 100 years, where we change the clock to go forward or go back 1 hour.
Yeah, we do it twice a year.
To save power on lighting.
Ostensibly.
And it seems to be a little bit less of an effective tool as the modern day electronic lighting and all kinds of things sort of have changed the way that works.
But yeah, and
that's,
you know,
up for debate.
It started as an agricultural thing, but there's a lot of people, increasingly more and more people, making calls to end daylight savings time.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some hard numbers to back up why it may not be so beneficial.
Right.
And why, especially the days immediately following the time change, can be difficult and even dangerous.
The spring time change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So spring ahead, fall back is
fall
kind
back
of
can a, have its benefits.
Right. Fall back is in the fall when you turn your clock 1 hour backwards and you kind of get an hour in a sense you get this new hour. Wow, I get to sleep in an hour.
That's right.
And then spring ahead, you move your clock ahead, so all of a sudden when you wake up the next morning, it's not 7 a.m., it's 8 a.m.
Right. And it's nice that the sun stays out longer later in the day, but there are actual statistics that show that daylight savings, at least this portion of it, right, the spring ahead, has a negative impact on people's lives.
Well, how about you? How have you been feeling it?
Well, I can tell you, Kevin, that Monday was a tough day for me. I mean, I don't know if it was more because of the time change or because of just the cold, wet weather, but Monday was a rough day.
I wonder how it was for most Americans.
I
felt it was a rough day for me also, aside from it being one of the worst weather days in New York City.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Monday for me was one of the first days in a while where I got home and I just fell asleep and I didn't remember going to sleep because I just was so tired from waking up so early, along with the time change and along with a long day and the weather and all this kind of stuff kind of culminating in a, I got to go home and I got to pass out,
Right.
But yeah,
so it's a subtle thing that the weather or the change of the clock can do to us that we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. I mean, we understand from a study that more than half of American adults say that they feel difficult effects of daylight savings time on that Monday after resetting the clocks. People are less productive at work, and people who lose out on the sleep say that the sleeplessness or the effect of being tired at work has a negative impact on their productiveness.
There are absolutely more car accidents.
Yeah, well,
that's statistically shown that
there's something like 7 or 8% rise in car accidents due to the sleeplessness.
And in the fall, it goes back. There are less car accidents that Monday after daylight savings time in the fall. So this one about spring ahead really does have an effect. What are some stats, Ben?
Well, that people who are younger, believe it or not, and I was surprised to read this, people who are younger are more affected by the time change than people who are older. So people in that 18 to 35 age range need more time to adjust to the effect of changing the clock.
Really?
Right? Up to half of them need at least a week.
Oh, wow.
What's really interesting I'm actually reading here is that the crime rate goes down after daylight saving time.
After the spring or the fall?
The criminals are tired.
It seems to be after it begins, which would be in the fall, so that...
No, daylight savings time just began.
Right, okay, so yeah, so that would be in the spring. And then in the evening hours before the sunset, because the light seems to kind of go on a little longer,
right.
There's less robbery because it takes place in the dark, and I people are out it. Less right, in the dark and a little bit more in the light time, which is kind of... It says 27%. Decrease. A
wow.
Very dramatic effect.
That is pretty statistically significant.
In the hours of sunset.
I wonder what burglary is like in Sweden, where it's sunny for 22 hours in the wintertime. You know, probably yeah. very, very little.
Right. I mean,
nobody can sneak in your house.
Well, Sweden is where it's like 2 hours of sun in the winter, yeah, but like right. all day, daytime in the summer.
Right. Yeah.
But Sweden's a whole other thing. But We looked at these surveys, and we looked at them, Kevin, Julian, and I, before going on the air today, and we were really blown away by a lot of the information and the statistics that we see here, just what an effect daylight savings time and the changing of the clock has. And the reality is the effect is because of a change in our circadian rhythm, right? Circadian rhythm, and that's our internal clock, is a simpler way to put that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's your internal clock that... you know, if you have, I don't know if you've experienced this, but for me, when I have something really important to do in the morning and I set my alarm a little earlier than usual, and I know in my head that it's really important that I wake up and I get out there, maybe it's an appointment or a meeting, whatever it might be, yeah. I will wake up before my alarm.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My mind, my internal clock, my circadian rhythm knows, right? It's almost like I'm even thinking about it in my sleep.
Hmm.
So that's what the impact is around this time of year. And of course, in the fall, when we set the clocks forward, there's a change in the circadian rhythm. Mm. It's very disruptive. It's a similar thing that happens when we go on a trip to a different time zone, the jet lag experience that occurs.
Right. Right.
And that can be very disruptive to people's routines, to people's moods, yeah. and to people's overall mindset.
I wonder if you'd read some of the things that people do. I know that I did what I did yesterday. I got in my car, and I realized I didn't have my car keys. I actually went to put my key in it, and I realized I don't have my keys.
You left it in the house.
And I have not done that ever. I mean, so I'm just like wondering if it's connected to lack of sleep or the change of season, the daylight savings thing.
Could be.
And these little things that show up when the clock is off. When your internal clock is off. So why don't you read some of the things that people do or have done?
Well, people have self-reported these things that they blame on being tired around daylight savings time. 12% of people have reported that they forgot to do something, like maybe picking up their car keys
exactly,
from the house.
Right.
Another 7% reported being late to work or to an appointment. I'm surprised it's that low. I mean, I guess now that everyone has an automatic clock in their pocket, we don't have to manually reset it. But I would think that when you push the clock forward an hour or back an hour, that people would be all kinds of late.
Yeah,
you know, what's interesting to me, too, is listening to all of this and kind of talking about the effects of daylight savings. It's such a big deal that it's like, oh, God, daylight savings is coming. Make sure you turn your clock back or everything's going to go crazy. And it's interesting. I wonder what just the idea of it happening, how that affects all of this stuff we're talking about too. Just the psyche unconsciously sort of knowing that daylight savings is coming, this being this checkpoint into the spring where we go forward, we lose an hour. Mm. And that you know, an hour of time is not too much time, but when you kind of think of it as this big event, I wonder how much it affects us in that way.
Well, I know that I had a moment, just a brief moment of dread, knowing that the clock was going ahead. Somebody told me on Saturday. I did not know it until Saturday, and somebody told me, and I went, oh, you know.
Right.
So it wasn't big. It wasn't a big reaction, but I really did have a moment of like, oh, I don't really want to go through this.
Well, you know what it is? It's the someone at some point decided that they could sort of broker our time. You know, they're going to take an hour from us in the spring and give it back in the winter. And every 4 years, they're going to add a whole extra day at the end
of
February.
It's like the mafia or something.
Yeah,
like that.
What's going on? Someone's brokering our time. No, but in seriousness, yeah. This is we talk a lot about seasonal affective disorder in the past on The Positive Mind. And
yeah, want to give a brief summary of what seasonal affective
yeah,
disorder
so
is.
Yeah, so seasonal affective disorder
know.
Is when you basically in the shorter, colder winter days, people who suffer from seasonal affective disorder, and it's a lot of people, up to 10% in some estimates of the American population.
For sure.
People who suffer from seasonal affective disorder, they have a large impact on their mood and their state of mind from lower temperatures and less daylight.
Yeah.
So what's happening now will create longer days. I mean, of course, it's not a net increase in the actual hours of light, right? But in our perception, because the sun stays out later in the day feels longer.
Well, the waking hours, we have more waking hours of sunlight.
Exactly.
Because we're generally sleeping past 6 right. a.m.
So the days feel longer, and it creates more sunlight. And I looked out the window yesterday at 6:30 in the evening, and I saw that it was still pretty bright out.
Yeah.
And it felt good.
Exactly.
I felt a noticeable sort of boost.
Right.
But we're gonna share with you a little discussion, an older piece of Armand discussing just this very phenomenon, including the seasonal affective disorder and how weather and mood are correlated. And we want to give you the chance to listen to this before we go ahead and take your phone calls later in the show. So here's a sample of Armand discussing weather and how it affects and correlates to mood.
Beautiful day outside today, right? Beautiful day. What difference does that make? I know some people, no matter what the weather is, they're in a bad mood. Do you ever meet people like that? And then at times, I have a feeling that I'm being affected by the weather. So I've paid a little more attention to it. Certainly my weary bones sometimes say to me, it's going to rain outside. Do you get that feeling in your aches, wherever you had breaks? If you had a broken bone, it always seems to remind you when the weather gets tough. What is it about weather? What is it about weather that affects us so much? And is it true? Is the weather really affecting us? We know about a thing called seasonal adjustment disorder. Seasonal adjustment disorder is a thing that kind of says, come depression. Some people, during the dark season, the winter, get more depressed than at any other time of year. Now, they've studied that, and what they figured out was it was because of the short light cycle, that the fact that there is less sunlight outside. And one of the ways they cure seasonal adjustment disorder, or at least treat it, is to say that they put lights. They put lights in front of you, and you stare at the sunlights, these balanced lights. And if you look at it for a longer period of time, well, sometimes they advise you to keep the lights on in your house to extend the day. Do you ever notice nowadays you wake up? I wake up 6 o'clock in the morning. It's dark out. How did it get dark? When did that happen? There's a beach in Old Greenwich where they have the closing time of the beach, which correlates to exactly when the sun sets every day. You know, this again, it's 10 minutes earlier every week, or 10 minutes later every week, according to the season as it comes along. And it's a sad thing when the beach starts closing at 4 o'clock. You know, that means it's going to get dark after 4 o'clock. Because darkness, we don't like darkness as much as we like sunshine. But is it in our imagination? Is it in our mind? Do your joints really feel better in the summer weather? Do you have a hard time exercising when it's hot out? How about when it's very hot? You have a more difficult time? They say, oh, that's because you're depleted with water. Are you more motivated and happy in the summer? Does your nose run as soon as the first blossom appears in the spring? Do you notice that you can't eat the same way as you do in the winter, as you do in the summer? That your food is different, your eating is different? Well, you may be a person whose health status is affected by weather. Some people are, some people aren't. We've commonly heard from a lot of medical patients who say that the weather makes their medical condition, whatever it is, feel better or worse. You might think this is no big deal. However, if we pay attention to it, and if you pay attention to your own synchronization with the weather, you may be able to do a job for yourself. You may be able to help yourself. At least be aware if it's a gloomy day and you feel gloomy, not to toss it off, because maybe you're responding to circadian rhythms or barometric pressures or things, and we're going to show you today why and how that affects you. It affects the pH balance of your blood. It'll actually affect your hormones and your moods. We're learning so much, it's remarkable. Here's a bit of news that just came out. Canadian researchers think they understand why women athletes damage their knees more than male athletes. Right? Why would that happen? Turns out that the sports medicine physicians and physiotherapists have learned that women athletes who are mid-cycle, mid-menstrual cycle, have more accidents with their knees than when they're not in their mid-cycle. What is it that makes that work? Is it chemistry? Is it stuff? They're trying to figure it out. They studied 26 subjects, and they showed that that they have this correlation. And then it went a further correlation with there were more accidents when there was a full moon and mid-cycle than if it was not a full moon. Now, this just boggles the mind. Wait a minute. I'm just a runner. What are you talking about? Okay, look. Assessing the relationship between weather and health can be difficult, partly because the weather changes every day, which brings different weather factors into play. Chronic pain sufferers are most affected by changes in temperature, humidity, precipitation, and sudden changes in the weather. Arthritis acts up with strong atmospheric cooling, and it's influenced by dampness. You know, if it's a damp day out there, some people find it harder to breathe. Other people find it harder to, you know, your pains just hurt. So what are we going to learn about this? We remain at the mercy of the weather. We may think we're big shots, you know, but you know you can't fool Mother Nature. There's somebody out there who's got a bigger gun than we do. All the medicine that we know of, all the stuff we do, you know, we could be the smartest people in the world. Typhoon, we're nothing, right? Tidal wave, nothing. Weather, at its extremes. But also, weather aside, it has an impact on land, property, human life. It also wields a more subtle influence over people. People diagnosed with a mental health condition are at times more predisposed to being affected both physically and or mentally by the weather. Bipolar condition. You know what that is? I always thought bipolar meant you go up to the North Pole and you get a bear. No, your bipolar means you have mood swings, very, very strong mood swings. And they say that people who are bipolar are deeply affected by weather. Rain and snow can make the outdoors damp, cold, empty, and at times unpleasant, particularly when it occurs for long periods of time. Then this other thing happens. You don't want to go outside. And now you don't go outside, so you don't change your vista. You don't get as much exercise. You stay in the same boring thing over and over again. Did you ever notice that your romance changes according to how much variation you might have available at any given moment? Do the same thing over and over again. It's very hard to be romantic. So love, sex, can be affected by weather too. At the other end of the spectrum, we have heat, which is extreme or extended periods of heat can have an impact on outdoor activities. There are people I know who are in New Orleans or in Arizona who just stay indoors. Don't go out. It's an enemy out there.
And that was Armand talking about weather and moods. And really, I mean, no one can say it better. So we like to bring little pieces of Armand back to you as much as possible. And today you're listening to The Positive Mind, and we're talking about weather, we're talking about mood, we're talking about daylight savings time, body clocks, and how all of this kind of changes how we're feeling, perhaps right now.
And we're susceptible creatures, that Mother Nature can be a bigger gun than we are. It can really affect us, and sensitive people are more affected, let's say, or heightened sensitivity to the change in the clock, the change in the weather, than others. But like,
how do you see it affecting, for instance, your clients, people that you deal with and help on a regular basis?
Well, he mentioned bipolar, and I have a couple of clients that are bipolar, and they dread. I mean, like Monday was a really bad day, so they, you know, it really does affect people. And I always recommend what's called a light box for people who are really suffering chronically every winter, to get a light box.
What is that?
It's an artificial light. So we don't realize it, but when in the wintertime when we're indoors, the light is just not, we weren't built for that. We were built to be outdoors and to be exposed to light. The light inside is 100 times less than light outside.
Is so, that the light yeah. therapy that we were talking about a yeah. little bit?
Yep.
And, you know, there's actually an alarm clock made by Philips, I think. Uh-huh. And it's this, it's kind of expensive because it's a very interesting concept. It's this large circle with a little tiny bit of a clock in the middle.
It looks almost like a football, light, right?
Kind of like a football. Well, it's circular because it's shaped like the sun.
Right.
And it sits on your desk. And instead of making noises when you wake up, it actually just gets really, really, really bright. And what happens is it wakes you up with the light to kind of feed into yeah. your yeah. body clock. Because let's say you got to get up at 6:30 in the morning. The light's not coming out till 7
right.
sometimes. Or maybe it doesn't get into your room till 9.
Yeah. And it's great when it goes on a timer, even yeah. when you're still asleep.
Exactly.
And then you wake up and it's like a dawn.
And there's been a lot of scientific study about easing into waking up instead of shooting awake
yeah.
From a loud alarm clock that's just, you know, kind of scaring you out of your REM, which right. is no good, I think.
Right.
But I also want to talk about the darkness. I mean, we're talking a lot about how awesome, how beautiful, how great light is for yeah. the body. Seasonal affective disorder usually refers to, let's say the places that have not much sunlight end up finding that a lot of that population in that country or that place is depressed because yeah. they don't have enough sunlight. They don't go out as much. They end up trapped in their homes. And we felt kind of like that during this winter and last winter mostly because of how long and how cold it was.
Last winter we had this mini ice age that was just yeah. brutal.
Yeah, and in New York City, you don't have a giant house to run around with the fireplace and the right. Dogs and whatever. You know, you've got this tiny apartment.
Everyone's in their little box.
Everybody's got their little box, and they hide in their box for 20 hours a day because they can't go out for any of the other time.
Or if they do leave their box, they go to their other box, their office box, right, where they get the money to pay for their home box.
Or they their box with wheels.
Yes.
You know, where they get to drive their box around.
And those of us who don't have the wheel box, we get on the community box, which are like these attached boxes that run underground and take us from box to box.
Yeah.
Here's a question. How many of you guys wanted to be a commercial trucker in the last 2 weeks just to escape New York winter? I've had this fantasy. I just want to get in a car and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And I want to bring up this the power of darkness kind of thing. There's this article called The Power of Darkness by Hugh Wilson. And it's sort of, we like to look at both sides of things. You know, we've been talking a little bit about the negative effects of losing that hour, what's happened to us. Kevin, I don't know if you mentioned, but we were talking about how there were 9% more car accidents on Monday because of daylight savings.
Yeah,
was
yeah,
that it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a variable statistic depending on where you live.
Right, but that's a large change. I mean,
yeah.
it's not, you know, usually the deviation is
within
1% or 2%.
I don't wonder if people noticed, like, car accidents on Monday.
Right.
I know I saw 3.
Right.
So, wow. I'm not sure if
so you actually experienced
yeah.
3 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But here, I'm going to read a little excerpt from this by Hugh Wilson. So for many of us, night has become day. We work, travel, shop, exercise, and socialize in hours that used to be reserved for relaxation and sleep. Time is a limited resource, and to make full use of it, the night has been illuminated and occupied. Even when we do sleep, street lamps and security lights pierce the darkness. But our freedom from the natural constraints of day and night may have come at a price. According to a growing band of scientists and doctors, many of us are no longer getting enough darkness in our lives. Think about that, guys.
Not enough darkness. Yeah.
The theory is based on a simple premise. Our biological rhythms evolved in a time before artificial light to take advantage of both bright days and dark nights. So, you know, we've got artificial light coming out in the last 200 years in forms of, you know, light bulbs and electricity. And then before that, obviously, candles and candlelight. But, you know, going way back to human beginnings, I mean, so little artificial light, if at all, was used.
Right, until we figured out fire. It's like the first one, right?
And so evolutionary, from an evolutionary standpoint, our bodies are still in a place that could be 50,000 to 200,000 years old. And it's, so it's used to that. Our body clock, I mean, of course it adapts.
No question.
But here we are with all of this brand new, LED lights coming out of the walls and router lights flickering at night.
Your cable channel.
Right, yeah, let's keep thinking about this. These flickering TVs and all kinds of things.
Your cell phone.
Yeah, so, and of course your cell phone. Those who sleep with their cell phone next to them, I mean, hopefully not too many of our listeners, but that, you know, that really affects what's going on. If you get a text message flash while you're sleeping, I mean, that can pull you right out of any quality sleep you're having. But by succumbing to the temptations of 24-hour living and ignoring or reducing our natural dark time, we could be putting our health at risk. Now, a number of health and environmental problems are due to a loss of darkness, says Dr. David Crawford, Executive Director of the International Dark Sky Association, a group that campaigns against light pollution.
And
it will get worse as we creep or rush to a 24/7 world. All of life, all of it, has evolved with a day and night cycle, the circadian rhythm. It is essential to good health. Many studies are now showing that those who go without a true day and night cycle are adversely impacting their immune systems, and that's not good. Because the body clock adapts us for the varying demands of activity and rest. It ensures our internal synchronicity that our various internal systems, like Armand mentioned before, temperature, alertness, blood pressure, and so on, are working together. And by moving to the 24-hour living kind of cycle, especially here in New York City, and reducing or ignoring the dark bit, we are effectively throwing away the advantages of millions of years of evolution. And according to this article, if you sleep with any kind of artificial light on at all, so make sure to close your door, shutter your windows, it actually reduces the release of melatonin in your body, the hormone melatonin, and which melatonin is actually a large part used by your body to prevent cancer cells from growing.
Wow.
And so that's a really big deal. Sure. To, you know, and here we have the power of darkness when it's supposed to be dark, and the power of light when it's supposed to be light. And there's this kind of theme coming out here that I find very exciting, that the body clock has this clock, and we should adhere to that.
Yeah.
And
I think it's important also to, when we talk about body clock and internal clock, biological clock, terms like that,
right.
It's important for us to acknowledge that they are real scientific phenomenons. It is a real thing, as you mentioned, Julian, and all that, you know, all that research that does point to the real effects of disruptions to that rhythm, to that clock. There's a lot of evidence that shows that, and you know, when people are kept in total darkness, that body clock goes from a 24-hour cycle to a 25-hour cycle. And that's been shown in terms of people. There are a lot of places where, for example, people get thrown into solitary confinement and it's pitch black. And they're left in there in total darkness, which is really, if you think about it, a terrifying.
I mean, actually, on both ends, there's both constant light torture and also solitary confinement torture, where there's both the entirety of the room is dark, and that's a form of torture, and the entirety of the room is light 24/7 is also a form of actual torture. So you have to think the body needs these phases, and these kind of naturally came out. And
yeah,
it's a really interesting idea to think about. We're coming to a break, but Kevin,
I was going to say they used to have this weightless water floating in water,
right?
And if it was going on too long, people really had mental illness.
Oh, like the isolation
tests.
Yeah.
They're
really great, but they're really dangerous, too, if you go too long.
Wow. Right. There's the danger of the artificial inducing of these phases, and then I think kind of flowing back to the natural way always seems to be the right way to go with it. And it's 1:30 p.m. here. This is The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM. WBAI, stay tuned for the next half hour. We're going to be taking phone calls at 212-757-5555 and a little bit of music for you.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
away. Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you
so
drop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful.
Worry.
What's your
and
hurry?
And father will be pacing the
just
floor.
Just listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful. Please
well,
don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I
the
pour.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Hey, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Say, your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no,
you
no,
mind
sir.
If I move in a little closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
Now what's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
oh,
stay.
Oh, baby, don't hold out.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
It's cold outside.
The answer is no.
Honey, it's cold outside.
The welcome has been
lucky that you dropped
so nice
in.
And warm.
Look out that window. Take a look at that storm.
Sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
Brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon a tropical
my
shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
You know your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I gotta get home.
Baby, you'll freeze out there.
Say, lend me your coat.
It's up to your knees up.
You've
there.
Really been grand.
I thrill when you touch
but don't
my hand.
You see?
How can you do this thing
there's
to me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty in plot.
If you caught pneumonia and I
really can't
get
stay.
Over that old out.
Ah, but it's cold. Ah, but it's cold outside.
Adi Gorman, Steve Lawrence, Baby, It's Cold Outside, here on 99.5.
Just when you thought winter was over.
WBAI. Yeah, it looks like we might have, might be getting a little winter weather this upcoming weekend, Sunday night into Monday morning. Looks like we have a potential for a winter storm. We're hoping that it goes off to the east, off into the ocean. But if it hits a little bit further west, we might be seeing some snow. Or at least some very cold air.
It's crazy through. The kind of stuff that actually ends up going into the ocean instead of hitting land and how we kind of don't realize it. There was actually an asteroid that was the equivalent of, I think, 300 tons of TNT smashed into the ocean just 3 weeks ago.
And where? The Atlantic?
It was the Atlantic Ocean, I believe. And it's like if it had landed in New York or something, it would have, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe we would have lasered it down or something like that. But
maybe we would have sent Ben Affleck to take care of it.
Right, but it's amazing what ends up going out to the ocean. Hopefully that snowstorm goes out there instead.
Bruce Willis. Could have done something about it for us.
Yeah. For those out there who'd like to talk about the effects that the weather has been having on them, anything unique that you feel like you want to share with us here on the radio today, maybe your experience with darkness and the positivity you find there.
Or how seasons tend to affect your mood, your happiness. Or lack thereof.
Exactly. Give us a call at 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555 is our call-in number. we'll be taking your calls and talking to you about this topic. Looking forward to it.
You know, pick up where you guys left off with the bipolar. You'd be amazed how many people come to the center, and one of the first questions I ask them is, how do you sleep at night? What disturbs your sleep at night? What can you do to make your sleep, here, get this question, holy? Do you know that sleep is holy? It's holy time.
It's definitely sacred.
You know,
there's no question.
When it's disturbed, it's almost sinful. So if you can prevent that, it can really contribute to your mental health. And I remember a famous actress once said that she suffered from depression. And the guy in the interview asked her, well, what's your solution? What do you do? And she said, well, I have a therapist. She said, but I go outside. Every time I feel depressed, I go outdoors.
Well, vitamin D, which we absorb in great quantities from sunlight, vitamin D has a huge impact on happiness and serotonin and melatonin, as Julian was talking about.
And here's a statistic. Normal daylight has between 20,000 and 100,000 light units, what they call a lux. And your average living room light is 100.
So what was normal daylight?
Normal daylight is between 20,000 and 100,000 lux, light units. Whereas your living room, if you're in your living room all day and all night, you're exposed to 100. So 10 minutes of exterior sunlight can pretty much remedy a whole day indoors.
And also, just, I mean, the sheer naturalness of the sunlight itself is always kind of had the benefit over artificial lights. And like we were talking about before, having any kind of what it's called short wavelength light, which is artificial light, tends to affect the body in less of a positive way than the sunlight does. So if you end up waking up to sunlight, it's a lot more beneficial than throwing all the lights on in your house and vice versa.
Yeah.
But we've actually got Ed on the line. Ed, you there?
Hello, how you doing?
How you doing, Ed?
Well, basically pertaining to the topic you were discussing, this time of year always throws me off. I mean, I understand that the concept behind it, but it feels too much like a control for me. I could be on a good run, like last year around this time, I'm on a good run doing some things, exercising, doing some things that I always intended to do, and I've always got to struggle when they make this time change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've even done some journeyman research, and I found that in certain cities, accidents increase, traffic accidents increase, on-job accidents increase. It takes me about a week to get back into the groove.
Yeah, that makes sense, Ed, and that's pretty consistent with a lot of the research that we did here, too. I completely understand and empathize when you talk about being on a good run. And feeling like you're getting things done, and you're sort of in that rhythm of life, and accomplishing things that you want to do, and in a good schedule, and then this just kind of cuts right into it. Because I felt that this year.
It takes me about a week or two to get back on track.
How about in the fall? How do you deal with that? Are you better with that?
In the fall, it seems to be better. Well, I'm what you would call a nocturnal person anyway. I like the dark. I personally and physically, I don't know if it's just like psychosomatic, but I seem to be able to think better in the dark. I can go into a room and just turn off all the lights, put down the shades. I like nighttime. It doesn't interrupt my sleep. I've only ever really slept for about 5 hours at night, even from being in the military.
Wow.
So my sleep, I don't need a lot of sleep.
Uh-huh.
Put it down.
That's really interesting. And what happens when the light comes out? Being this kind of nocturnal type of person, does it feel like too much? Do you always end up throwing sunglasses on when you're out, or is it?
Well, I have transition lenses. I don't really like
the modern remedy.
Sees me like calling me a vampire, things like that. I'm not crazy about the daytime.
Yeah.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for the call and thanks for your service.
So, Ed, I just wanted to make clear, you struggle against this. You try to do things like exercise and stuff to get through the difficulty this time, and that doesn't really always work. Is that right?
Well, I mean, here's a perfect example. Coming on to this daylight savings period,
Yeah.
I was, you know, from January, February, I made a couple of New Year's resolutions, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
And I had started. I was doing pretty good for January and February. I would get up, do a little exercise in the afternoon. I would go to the gym. You know, I've got two dogs, and I was walking them on a little more consistent basis. I was making the necessary modifications to my schedule to do the things that I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as this daylight savings thing kicks in, like for the past week, I really haven't felt motivated to do it.
Right.
I'm like,
Yeah. Just when you need it most, you really can't get into it. So,
well, now
Mother Nature really can pack a punch. So, yeah. So you'll get back on the wagon next week.
I hope so.
Okay. You know,
thanks a lot.
Take care, Ed.
Thanks for calling. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
And it's interesting what Ed's talking about, that this change kind of messed with his habitual thing that he was working on. And I know Armand actually earlier spoke about, when we played that clip of him talking about how change does actually sometimes really benefit the body and the mind, giving a little bit. I think that seems to show through when we have holidays that kind of – people look forward to holidays and checkpoints in life that kind of represent a change in mind, and that allows relationships to kind of find a new spark. And perhaps we've talked about, you know, the walk home instead of walking home a different way and seeing what happens that way. The change does often positively affect us too. So hopefully Ed can find that positive side.
And it's one of the reasons people live in New York. They say,
yeah, I mean, there's
the
just
major
so
reason
much.
Is because the seasons. I need change. I want to have change. Even
right.
though winter is a drag, they still want it.
Right. And so. Then there are the people who live in LA and there's beautiful weather every single day. And I know a lot of the people who kind of transplanted themselves from New York to LA find themselves coming back to New York saying, well, I kind of miss just having some change.
Yeah.
It's too consistent.
Yeah.
And it kind of all flows together. And the mind finds things that flow together and then sort of starts ignoring them.
I just recently had the chance to go to Texas. I actually went to El Paso, and it's so sunny there that they call it the Sun City. It's sunny over something like 330 days a year where it's sunny and like bright sun, blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. Incredible.
How's the mood of the people there?
Everyone seems pretty upbeat and friendly over
Chipper.
There, I got to say, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, our number is 212-757-5555. If we missed you, I saw a couple lights coming through while we were on the phone with Ed. Your line gets kind of shot over to the other one. So if you can call back, 212-757-5555, we'd love to hear from you. And we're talking today about the weather, about seasonal affective disorder, about daylight savings time, and sort of just time and body rhythms and how they're affected by all that's happening.
I have family who lives in South Florida, and if you can believe it, they moved from South Florida to Seattle, which in every possible way is about as drastic a move as you could make in the within the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you went from Alaska to Hawaii,
right?
But from South Florida to Seattle, and they left Seattle after a couple of years or even less. They had to go back to South Florida.
Sure.
Because it was just too much.
Too dramatic.
The rain, the cloudy skies, the constant the rough weather.
Yeah.
We got Raymond on the line. Raymond, how you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Good. Hey, thanks for calling in.
We're doing very well despite the daylight savings.
I know, right? It throws me off. I was telling my wife that the daylight saving time, well, I think it was like the winter that was more so that was hard on me, because it was winter, but it really wasn't winter. Like Christmas was like 60 degrees,
yeah,
70 degrees.
That's right.
I remember it was 75 where I was. I was like, this is insane.
Right.
I'm wearing shorts.
Yeah.
You know, and what that do for me is like my body, when winter comes, it's supposed to be cold. You see, when spring comes, it's supposed to change the season, and then summer comes, it's supposed to be hot. Like, I really don't want it to be 40 degrees in the summer.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
I want it to be cold in the winter, even though I like the warmth, of course, and I don't like the snow that much because of the dirty snow and how long it lingers.
Yeah, I like that. You know what you mean.
But besides that, I still need it for it to be cold.
So Raymond, it sounds like you like predictability. You like something that is sort of a known quantity. You like the seasons to sort of fall in line with expectation.
Yeah, exactly, like the way it's supposed to be. I remember I was listening to Armand one time, and he was talking about the difference between white people and black people in Europe and Africa, and was talking about the cold in Europe and the warmth in Africa, and how they had more children games, more children play, more outside activity in Africa and less in Europe. And it said, and he was telling me that it was, he was saying that it was more like people being more violent because of the cold, because of the short days.
That's really interesting.
Because of the closeness.
Yeah.
I remember him saying that.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a correlation, and I totally understand what you're saying, and it sounds like Harman was talking about something really interesting. I'm going to look up that episode. There's that correlation where just, like, you're trapped inside, and you feel like especially for those who are claustrophobic even, when you go outside and it's so cold or so hot on the other side of things, that you really can't spend too much time that's enjoyable outside. You end up hiding inside, and if the weather is in that weird place like you were talking about, it doesn't even really give you a chance to wear the right clothing to go outside or plan accordingly to at least have a Christmas party inside and enjoy the snow. Instead, your Christmas party ends up being everybody's sweating because they're all wearing jackets and it's too warm. And what I like looking at is in New York, when the seasons change, when I walk outside on the first day of what we feel is spring, I think last week it was really, really beautiful here in New York, and the sun came out. I mean, people really commit to the first day of sunlight that feels like the first day of spring, and I walk out my block in the East Village, and it's like people are doing cartwheels, people are playing volleyball, people pull out their shortest pair of shorts, and they throw away their jackets and put on the sunglasses and are drinking iced coffees, and it's like, boom, thrown right in. And that really, that wave of change really affects my mood and really makes me feel great. And in the same way, in the wintertime, when the snow comes out, and when, for example, the huge blizzard that happened this winter or last winter, when that first kind of blizzardy storm comes out, there are people running around playing in the snow because it's like, finally, this is a dramatic change for me, and I get to enjoy that. And I notice that that's a big thing here in New York City, where people kind of rejoice in the dramatic change. And I really love observing that.
I wonder if
people love change.
I wonder also if it's like the real thing, like a snowstorm is a real thing. I think one of the frustrations with this winter has been that it's up and down.
Right, we
that
want
you
commitment.
Can't count on it.
Come on, mother.
Come on,
give
man.
Us some. Give us some
mother
commitment.
Nature.
Right. Yeah. Like, give us some heat, or give us some cold. Give us some snow.
Right.
Because it wasn't really winter. You know, we had that thick snow. By all means, we definitely had the blizzard.
Yeah.
But the earth was so warm it didn't stay around long.
Yeah, and then it just turned into that.
Like last year. With snow on top of, you know, like,
yeah.
Even though it was nasty, but it was balanced. Like, that's the way it should be.
Right, I know. The snow kind of just turned into, like, weird gray blocks on top of the sewers. But thank you so much for calling in, Raymond. We're going to try to get one more call in today.
Oh, yeah.
And take care.
Have a good day.
And thank you for listening.
And I miss Armand.
Oh, we do, too. We do, too.
All right.
Bye-bye. Later.
Thanks, Raymond. 212-757-5555. That's our number here in the studio. Right here, broadcasting from the DeMel Center on West 57th Street in New York City. And we thank all of you who have tuned in today. We hope to get at least maybe one or two more phone calls before we sign out. Just a quick reminder, friendly reminder, you can find us online at thepositivemind.com. You can send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. And you can subscribe to our podcast. We're on iTunes. If you go on the iTunes store, it's free. And just search for The Positive Mind. You can find us and subscribe. Get new episodes automatically downloaded to your computer or your iPhone, for that matter.
You know, I just want to say also, Ben, it's an important time, even though it's not dramatic, but it's still a time of change for people to be forgiving of themselves this week for the changes they're feeling. If you're feeling really down, feeling really bad, if you can't handle the change, if it's really too bad, you know, forgive yourself. It's yeah. Everybody's going through something.
Yeah, you know, and you don't have to blame yourself for being gloomy if it's gloomy outside. I mean, it's the external pressures of the world do, in fact, affect your body as you walk through it. So that's a really important observation.
And we can't count on the weather. You know, it was beautiful last week. Monday was the worst day of the year. Tomorrow, who knows? Snow is coming on Sunday.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe. Please, maybe.
And
so it's like it throws you off. So you got to give yourself a little room here to...
Exactly.
Be compassionate.
Exactly. And I think we have Sivani on the line. Is that your name? Is that how we say it?
My name is Imani.
Imani. Imani. Imani. I'm sorry. I misheard you.
I know
there.
It's Sivan, but it's Imani.
Okay.
I'm calling from Patterson, New Jersey.
Hey, Patterson. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just want to thank you guys for the great... This is my first time ever calling in, although I've listened to Armand so many years. I think you guys have done a great job, and I know that he would be so proud of you. And I love how you just splice them in here and there.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's really comforting. It's really comforting.
Thank you.
But
that's very kind of you.
But I just wanted to just interject something quickly.
Of course.
I have found in myself, if I may share... that I work nights, which is definitely not healthy. It is not. It is not healthy, and I acknowledge that. However, I do get some sleep here and there. So in my room, I actually have my lights, I have black curtains, so I have blackouts for the day. But what I've done to offset when the time changes, I don't work weekends.
Mm.
And I won't even work, even if I'm asked to work on a Saturday night, which means I would be working an overnight shift. I never do it on the weekend of time change. And what I do is, even if I'm up late, even if I'm out late, what I make sure that I do is that I sleep late. I make myself sleep a little later than normal. I can wake up, but I'm staying in the bed.
Good for you.
I'm not getting up.
You know, Imani, one of the things we found in the research that we did that we were talking about earlier was that shift work is part of that phenomenon of things that will disrupt and affect that circadian rhythm. So it's good that you're aware of that, and it's really good that you've taken steps to sort of fight that.
But look at how proactive she is. She knows when it's going to come, like this changing of the clock, and she's laid down the law. Good for you.
I'm very conscious of that. And now I spoke to a friend on Sunday who was saying he was so tired. So I suggested some things that he do, like staying in, you know, getting some more rest. Don't go out today. Just relax. I stayed in all day Sunday until it was time for me to go to work at 11 p.m.
Wow.
Now, everyone else, I heard about the accidents and everything. The only thing I did, I think, that was wrong is I was about to swipe my license instead of my debit card while at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, that's
but that
definitely
was about
one
the only thing,
because
I was very conscious. I wanted to see. You know, I heard about the accidents and all that. I wanted to see. I also made it a point to stay in Sunday because of that. And I feel good. I don't know. The sun this week has energized me. I know we had a little rain, but I actually feel good. I come home, I get my sleep, I've worked out 3 days this week already, so I'm still good. I do think that winter cycle, we are affected a little bit more when the time changes and we fall back. I think we're affected a little more, or I may be, but I still do this little routine thing, and I'm not as affected as my coworkers.
Imani, you sound upbeat, so whatever you're doing is great. Here are some things that people have done. They went to work on a day off. They wore their slippers outside. They went to the ATM to order food. They put their paycheck in the garbage. They put clothes on inside out. They made the coffee wrong.
Oh, not that.
Yeah. They stepped on their cat.
Oh, that's the worst.
And they went
one.
Into the wrong bathroom, which I've done, but not this week.
Thank you so much for calling, Imani, and for your very kind words.
And don't be a stranger. Yeah, thanks. Call us in the future, too.
I promise not to be. And I wish they can have you guys on more often.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind.
Thanks, Imani.
Have a great day on purpose.
Yeah, on purpose.
You too.
You too. Great day on purpose.
Yeah, and always nice to hear from Imani. You know, we heard from a lot of night people. Sounds like Imani certainly working a night shift as a night person, and I think
She brings
Ed,
a daytime kind of mood to the night, which
Ed mentioned that he is a night person too. Would have been nice to hear from some daytime people, but maybe we can hear from them next week. Of course, we'll be back Tuesday. Right here on 99.5 at 1 p.m. as usual.
Tuesday and Wednesday
and
at
Wednesday.
1 p.m. For
That's
all those,
right.
I've been getting a lot of questions about when we're on. Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. I know the Fun Drive kind of messes
That's
with
right.
our schedule. But
and, of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the internet, online at thepositivemind.com and on the iTunes podcast where you can always hear us. And we're always live. Well, not live, but, you know, you can always get your fix of The Positive Mind online. So always remember that. And thank you to all our listeners and all our callers. And send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org.
And just remember, you can hear more about the weather and moods on the archive on thepositivemind.com. Just type in weather, and you will get the full show, a full clip of Armand talking about the influence of weather.
Of course. And thank you so much for listening. I'm Julian Joiello.
I'm Ben Starr.
And I'm Kev O'Donoghue.
Take care.